This is Digital Dave, and I'm sitting with Ms. Betty Koshik of the National Transportation Safety Board, air traffic control well, she deals with air traffic controllers. They call it the Operational Factors Division.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very impressive.
Oh, it is.
It looks good on a business card, doesn't it?
Oh, it looks very good on a business card.
Okay, great. Now, what does that mean? What exactly do you do?
I investigate air traffic control incidents and accidents. Anytime that there's an incident or accident that involves a controller, or there's even a question about it, or just to rule the controllers out to make sure that everything was done correctly, we'll go in and talk with the controllers to get that side of the story, because not everything is on the audio is there. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we want to know about and to see what they were dealing with at that point as well.
Right. You're saying there could be other workload issues or,
exactly.
or equipment issues going on that you won't see over the radio, won't hear.
Exactly. And there could be some kind of distraction, something going on in the facility. There's a myriad of things that could be happening. And that's what we want to do is find out so that we can have that for the fact-based conclusions.
Yeah, the chain of events.
Exactly.
It's make sure that's not part of the chain.
Right, and to make sure, you know, and it's good to know it, because if something is happening at one place, it could be happening somewhere else, and it might be a small thing or seem like a small thing, but if it's happening at other places as well, then there's a safety issue there.
Okay, now, you also investigate incidents, so
yes.
Non-accident situations.
Right.
You want to look and see if the controller had a part in that.
Exactly. I mean, like for runway incursions, we like to, you know, when let's say that there's two aircraft involved and ATC, it seemed like in the audio that they had some kind of involvement in it. We want to go out to the facility and see what was going on, to see if their equipment was working correctly. Even though no accident occurred, and it may not even been a close call, but just the fact that it's a runway incursion, that maybe the pilot stopped very fast or the canceled the takeoff clearance. We want to make sure that the controllers, if their equipment is there, if they have the certain type of equipment that is working that's working correctly, and if they don't, then we can help to make recommendations to fix it. Yeah.
So I guess when you're listening to an ATC tape, you do not want to hear the controller say, "Oh no, not again."
Exactly.
That would be bad.
That would be an indication that there's an issue
somewhere.
Right. And it's not always that the controller's at fault on these things. Sometimes we go in thinking that, you know, one thing, thinking that maybe it's the controller did have some involvement in it or contributed to it. But once we get there, we'll find out that, you know, the equipment was, like we were talking about, the equipment just wasn't working properly, or that there was something else going on, maybe something on the airfield, maybe the truck, or as a driver, truck drove across the runway without permission. So it could be a lot of different things going on.
Do you find that language barrier factors in a lot of these incidents? Do you recommend like changes to terminology to help make it clearer for the pilot to understand the instruction?
It seems like the phraseology and all the terminology is pretty standard. We haven't really come across where there's a lot of instances where we could put a recommendation. A big thing would be like in a procedure, maybe a standard operating procedure, because each airport is so different. And it depends on how they're designed. Some things will work great at one airport. It might not work so great at another. And so us going in, maybe we've seen it at the same type of designed airport that a procedure works good. And we could go in and suggest that they look at their procedure and tell them, look, this other airport that we investigated, it ended up being that they had implemented this procedure and it worked out well. So it's a lot of lower level working between the facilities without going FAA wide, unless we find something systemic.
Which I imagine that's pretty rare these days. You've been around a long time and
right.
Things have been figured out.
Right. Because air traffic control they're really safe. And they do their best to make sure everything works out Right. And they're pretty good about sticking to the rules. And it's not like we find a lot of errors with air traffic. But there's always improvements to be made with all the new technology, the new people coming through. We just find, you know, there's some things, just standard operating procedures need to be revised or are worked on.
Well, aviation has changed. Aircraft have changed.
Exactly.
So the rules have changed.
Yes, exactly.
So, well, you know, with all these collision avoidance systems and all this data that's now available to the pilots, I imagine it's made your job a lot easier.
It has, because now we have more record of it. But also with the systems, there's a lot of reliance, more reliance on the automation than looking out the window, you know, even for the pilots. You know, that's one of the emphases that I know that NACA, which is the union for air traffic, they emphasize their controllers to look out as far as in the tower, look out the window. There's so much automation around. It could be easy to fall into that looking on the radar display to see where your airplane is rather than looking out the window. The same as with the pilot, looking heads up, you know, always hearing that thing, keep heads up, you know. So automation is great, and it does help prevent accidents, but going back to basics all the time, keeping your heads up is always good.
Well, the train of thought I always have, my background's electronics, is what if it stops working all of a sudden?
Right.
You better be able to do something on your own.
Exactly, and it's always keeping that in mind, you know, and I think most controllers, they have that plan B. You know, always in place. They're doing plan A, but they got plan B just in case something doesn't work out properly.
How many investigations do you handle a year?
It varies with things, not all accidents, but with incidents and accidents, probably about 20 or 30.
Okay.
And that's for with all of us. There's five of us that do this.
Now, that's something. How many NTSB investigators are there for the country?
There's about 400 of us for all modes, which we also have railroad, marine, pipeline, highway. So that's 400 for the whole agency.
But that's not necessarily
For the aviation?
Yes.
No, I believe the aviation has a lot more than some of the other modes. I don't know the exact number on that.
But it still sounds like a small number considering the number of aircraft flying. Hopefully it's not the number of aircraft crashing.
No. Unfortunately, we do stay a lot busier than we would like because, I mean, we're one of those agencies we're trying to work ourselves out of a job.
Hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't,
It's getting better, though. It's getting better.
It is getting better. I mean, it's a progress. I mean, as soon as something else comes out, something new, you start to find issues with that. But, you know, as long as we have the human in the system, there's always going to be things that happen.
The potential for.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. However, there's been plenty of instances where automation has been confused.
Yes.
Especially in the first early rollouts.
Oh, exactly. So. And they'll work the kinks out, and that's hopefully what, you know, we're always there for, you know, finding out what those little kinks are so that we can correct it.
So that means you don't fly commercial much.
Oh, I do.
I'm sure you do all the time.
Oh, exactly. So. It's the safest mode.
You yes. know,
flying it's safe. There's not, I would rather fly than drive.
That's what they say. The most dangerous part of the flight is the drive to the airport.
Right.
So, very, very good.
Okay.
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for 7 years.
Never gets boring?
Never. Never, never, never. It's one of those jobs that, you know, it's unfortunate that we're needed, but I think the reward out of it is when we do find things that may prevent another accident or an incident, we won't know because you don't know that end of it. But We always hope to think that maybe something that we did, something we found, will prevent that. And that's the reward. That's the reason it drives most of us, because you never get to see the benefit except for the fact of lack of accidents.
Right.
Lack.
You hope you never get to see that type
yeah.
of incident come across your desk again.
Exactly. When you don't see it, that's a good sign. Then
yeah.
you felt you've really accomplished something.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I want to thank you for sitting down with me. Again, we've been talking with Miss Betty Koshik of the NTSB. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.